Your attention, please. The Walt Disney World Railroad, now boarding for a scenic trip around the Magic Kingdom. Board!
Brad, remember when I sent you an image to look at during the show and you got mad at me and it was
Are you gonna do this again?
No.
Oh,
no.
Okay.
When it was the Guardians of the Galaxy show building?
Yes. Yes, I do remember that. I just thought you were about, like, just because I spring things on you. Now, if you send me an image that says you're going to Disney World, you can do that. Otherwise, no bueno. Don't do that.
Boo.
Okay.
No,
anyway.
Disney is apparently not going to theme that building, meaning that it's just going to be a big unthemed cube of a building, which is fine. But now I'm like, man, how are they going to hide that enormous building? Because if they were going to theme it, you know, you can make it, you had said, you know, maybe they'll do something like the Tower of Terror in Morocco and make it look okay. But if they're going to not theme it, what are they going to do?
Okay, but like, are you like reading this somewhere or something?
No, there was an article.
Okay.
On your favorite website, WDWNT.
Hey, I actually really enjoy that website. So, that sounded sarcastic because I didn't want people to like hear you say that and think, "Ooh, what does he have against that website?"
Ooh.
We talk about way too much WDWNT articles for us to not like WDWNT. Anyway, I feel like it depends on what the word, like what you take the word theming to mean, right? Like, if you take the word theming to mean, are they gonna make it look like a jungle? Then, yeah, they're probably not going to theme it. And I'm not really surprised by that. But does that mean that they're not going to, you know, I expect theming in that, kind of like when they repainted Rock and Roller Coaster. And they painted it that blue color, right? So that the majority of the time it would blend in with the sky pretty well. You know, and now they did keep the stripe and they did keep the soundstage, I think. Did they keep that after they redid it?
I think so, but that makes more sense because you're in a place where there are buildings. It's a studio. And so like the show building kind of just blends in with everything else, all the other buildings anyway. Because around it, like if you're looking at over in that direction from, you know, the intersection of Sunset and Hollywood, It just looks normal because there's tons of buildings over there and there's studios and all that. And same if you were looking at it from the stands of a Lice Motors Action. You look over that way and there's just buildings, 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 and it all just fits in.
Right.
This is a cube dropped in the middle of nothing, basically.
But
nothing tall anyway.
Yeah. Okay. So if the cube was like where you entered, right? Like if that was the show building, then I would see an argument against, you know, oh, that totally has to be theme. But it's not, right? For all intents and purposes, Disney wants you to believe that the building that contains Guardians of the Galaxy is the old Universe of Energy building.
Yeah.
Which is theme.
Right.
And in fact, if they were to theme that building you know, to any large extent, I feel like that would be much more. If they pulled what is Tower called now in DCA? Mission Breakout.
Mission Breakout.
Yeah, if they pulled a Mission Breakout on that, to me, that would be so much worse because then you would have something that doesn't fit in at all with the rest of the park, you know? So I think, and again, I could be totally wrong about this, but I think the level of theming or lack of theming is, I feel like some people were starting to say, oh, this is going to be like a completely themed building. It's going to look like it comes out of Guardians of the Galaxy. And I don't know that that would really, I mean, do you think that would work?
No, I don't think that would work at all. But what is weird to me, my concern is that this building is visible from the parking lot and the framing, we should say. It's not fully finished. But the framing is visible from the parking lot, from the World Showcase, and basically from most places in Epcot because it's so dang big. I doubt that they would leave it unpainted. Like, obviously, they're going to paint it in some way.
Right.
And maybe it just gets painted in, like, a future world kind of aesthetic and they call it a day. But being visible from so many different places and just being what I assume is going to be a square building, that's what's weird to me. You know, like, yeah, at the end of the day, if you can just see a building in the distance, who cares? Like, really, it will blend in with everyone's, like, subconscious, and they'll just go like, oh, I wonder what that building is, and then they'll totally forget about it. You know, mm-hmm. maybe that's some other place in future world or whatever. But the fact that it's visible from the parking lot, you get there and you go, what is that building? And then you see it again and you're, what is that building? And then you're in the World Showcase. Oh, what is that building? There's that same huge building. What is that? It's distracting. That's where I am at with that, is that it just becomes distracting because it's so big and so visible.
So as we're talking about this, because I am a good co-host, I am sitting here like Google street viewing through Epcot, right? Because
yeah.
Because here's the thing. This is not the first time that Epcot has had a really big building, right?
Like, sure.
The show building for Soarin' is a really big cube building, right?
Yep.
The building, the backside of Honey, I Shrunk the Audience. What is that this week? the short film festival, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. So that is a pretty big building, but you know, between trees and stuff like that, you don't really notice that those buildings are there. And
well, the Soarin building is so far away that I don't think you'd be able to see that anyway.
But I mean, like, you say that, but it's not really that far away. I don't know. I wonder if, again, I feel like if they tried to theme it, like to bring it into the story, there's no way they're going to completely hide that.
I think that from
the whole thing. But if they make it look innocuous, like, if they paint it green, or you know what I mean? Like, if they make it innocuous, then they can move some trees around, which Disney is really good at doing.
Right.
And I think then they could probably make something work. And again, I don't know for sure, but that's what I would expect them to do.
So to use the Soarin show building as an example, I don't know where I could stand in Epcot and see that building. Just based on the World Showcase, you know, all the buildings that would block the Soarin' show building are tall enough that I wouldn't be able to see it. The land pavilion is so big, or whatever you call that. The land building is so big that I wouldn't be able to see it. There's trees. And I think it's far enough back, and I think it's lower in elevation, at least, than the land. And so they've got a lot of things working for them on that. This building is just much closer to Epcot because, you know, basically you're going to have what I assume is a launched ride, the way that Rock and Roller Coaster is, where you'll basically do what Rock and Roller Coaster does and use the launch as a tunnel between, you know, or not. I know that Rock and Roller Coaster, you start moving between the buildings before that, but basically you go in the show, or you go in the entrance and through the queue and everything, you kind of move into the show building seamlessly,
right?
This just feels different because, like, Rock and Roller Coaster, the way that that is all set up and the way that they have the sight lines in Hollywood Studios, I feel like they do the front building is so large where the queue is that I think that it tricks your brain into thinking that the whole ride is in there.
Yes. Absolutely does.
And Soarin', the land is so large on the inside that it kind of tricks your brain into, like, and honestly, the queue's a mile long and you do right. So many twists and turns that it might trick your brain into thinking that you're underneath the land. Like, I don't know. But this building is just so, it's much more proximate. And again, it's surrounded by nothing tall. I feel like if they had, I don't know. I don't know. This just doesn't feel the same as any of those things. And It just seems like it's going to look funny. But I totally agree with you in saying that if they tried to theme it in any way, like theme it as Guardians of the Galaxy, that would be a huge mistake. I think Rock and Roller Coaster especially benefits from the fact that the show building does not look like anything. It doesn't look like a show building. It's just a building that blends in with the buildings around it. And I think the one big issue I have with the Guardians of the Galaxy show building is there are no buildings around it. It's just a building in the middle of nowhere, basically.
Yeah, I'm not discounting and saying that this is impossible, but I look at it and I think that with the right, again, kind of looking at the show building for Soarin', or you know, the backsides of some of those other buildings, I just feel like it can be made to disappear by, you know, maybe not being like a bright white, but you know, just that light blue, that off color. I think it, you know, initially maybe it's going to stand out, but I think with a very small amount of time, it's going to kind of fade into the background. And again, I could be totally wrong about this, but I guess, whereas it sounds like you just can't come to a point where you could see this possibly working, I can totally see this possibly working.
I just don't know how, from the pictures that we've seen, I don't know how you hide it unless you just, like, you're just walking through Epcot and there's, you know, like, trees over here and some stuff over here, and then all of a sudden you have 50-foot tall redwoods, you know? Just like, what?
And wouldn't that be
this?
Kind of awesome?
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, that would look all right.
Welcome to California, because Disney does not have enough California stuff.
Right. I mean, this to me is like if they're like, okay, hey, we're done with the Ratatouille ride in France, and there's like just a huge show building behind the France Pavilion, you know, like a big white building, and you're just like, what is that? And it's like, oh, that's the Ratatouille ride. You know, if they didn't do anything to do that, and it's just this big square, if they didn't do anything to make it look like a French building, whatever mm-hmm. that means.
Right.
It doesn't feel, I don't know. Like you said, I'm having a hard time seeing how that doesn't just stick out like a sore thumb, because there's just nothing around it. And the Universe of Energy building is very like low and sleek and aerodynamic, and it looks really great. And then, you know, just to the right of it is like this, like Rubik's Cube, you know, sitting there. And maybe they'll paint it like a Rubik's Cube.
There you go. And now it's suddenly, now it's suddenly themed for the Pop Century, you know?
Yeah. So, sure. Yeah. That's what they got to do. They just need to make it a big bowling pin or something.
Ooh, I like it. I like it. And then it can become the newest value resort where you can walk right into Epcot.
Yeah.
Because that's totally where the value resorts go, right? Closest to the park.
Vegas has that roller coaster that's inside the New York, New York. They just need to build a hotel in that show building and have the Guardians of the Galaxy ride, you know, go through your hotel room or whatever.
I mean, that's so they did it with the Contemporary, and then they didn't do it with anything else. I mean, we're due, Disney. We're due.
Sure.
Like I said, we'll see, but my pitchfork is staying firmly behind its glass break in case of, you know, that's been taped up so many times that you can't really see the pitch, but I promise you it's still back there behind all these taped up pieces of glass, and I'm going to leave it there until this building gets a little bit more done.
And I am extremely interested just to see where that goes and to see what they do, if anything, because I would love to see a creative solution to that issue.
Okay, so speaking of creative solutions, and I know I didn't put it in the show notes because this not trying to surprise you, but honestly just forgot, but you've already seen this because I've sent you a picture. We'll put a picture in the show notes. Can we talk about the magic band puck holder for your watch? and yeah, how dude. I don't know how Disney. So again, I'm planning my trip, and a while back I had seen these like third party puck holders on. Is that what they are? What do they call? I guess so. Disney calls them what, keepers?
Yeah, yeah. And they don't use puck either.
No, they don't. I don't know. Like, and I don't think that's. Where did I get that word
we
from?
We coined the term magic puck.
Okay, there you go. So that's why it's a puck holder. Anyway, I saw these things on Etsy and all that sort of, you know, eBay, all those sorts of places, and thought, well, that would be nice to have, but who, you know, I'm not going to need that right now. And I bought one, and there's some danger in talking about it before I use it, but to some extent, I know how the Magic Band works, and I don't see how it could, you know, it's a pretty simple thing. You put your watch band through it, you snap your puck into it, and that's all that it is, right?
So, and does it fit pretty tight?
Oh, it fits real tight. Like,
good.
So I tested it out with one of the, like, a random Magic Band that I had sitting here from one of our trips. And I thought I'd made a really big mistake, because that wasn't the puck I actually wanted to have in there. And I was kind of questioning if I was going to be able to get it out without breaking it. But I did, you know, finally manage to. I actually had to wedge a screwdriver between my watch band and the puck holder with my watch band on, so I had something to leverage against to pop it out. And then the puck came out the front. But yes, it holds quite firmly, and it holds really well to the watch band when it's on there. But like, looking at this, all that I can think is Disney has definitely seen that these things exist, right?
Yeah.
And these things are freaking brilliant, because a lot, you know, I know that I am not nearly the only person who wears a watch or a Fitbit or something already on their wrist. And I, you know what, I love my Magic Bands, and I have, you know, all the ones with the different art, and there are times when I want to wear them, but a lot of times I don't want to have to wear something else on my wrist, and the ability to just add that on is great. And Disney could sell one that had some, you know, that had a little bit more finish to it, perhaps, because the one that I got from Etsy was like $7.50 after shipping, and was like just it's a 3D printed piece of plastic is what it is.
Right.
And that's all that it needs to be. But Disney could slap a couple of character faces on either side of it, you know, and
theirs would be injection molded. It wouldn't have all the tool marking and stuff on it.
And it would be real smooth and everything. Not that this one is bad, but they could do all of those things, make it for probably a fraction of what it's costing these people to make them, and sell it for $15, and I would have bought it in a heartbeat.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I don't know why they're leaving money on it. Because, folks, if you are wearing a watch or something like that, you want to get one of these things. Because, again, it keeps you from having to wear something else. And what I like about it is it sits the Magic Band puck off to the side of your wrist. Which, again, I don't have experience with it. But I know I'm going to like it, because we've talked about, like, yep, that's a sticking point with Magic Band, is having to like twist your wrist at that weird angle and make sure you slap it dead on, yeah, and turning and everything around.
Yeah. That was when you showed me that. You've got yours, so you wear your watch on your left hand, right?
I do.
And yours is positioned on the outside of your wrist.
Correct.
Just to give the audience a bit of a mental picture, but that allows you to just kind of walk up to the touch point and in a natural way just touch the side of your hand to the touch point, which lets you see both your magic puck and the touch point, line it up better, and you're keeping your arm in a totally natural way instead of having to like take your wrist and like bump it down, and it's a stupid thing to complain about, because you know you're at Disney and you're using all this technology to make things easier, but
this makes it easier, and it's a like simple It's a simple fix. And well,
it's so important too. Like, I feel like this is such an important thing to the usability of that Magic Band, that like this is what they were going for when they introduced Magic Band 2.0, that was a little device that just went into different holders. Like, this is the culmination of that for me.
Yeah, and they sold the keepers that they have, but I don't understand why this isn't a thing. I guess the only disadvantage that I do have is if the touch point is on my right, you know, I can't easily, if it's on the top of my wrist, I can easily turn either way. It's kind of awkward, but it's not nearly as awkward as trying to turn my arm upside down, I guess, to touch it. But you know what? I can fix that too. I can moonwalk through that FastPass Plus entrance.
Just do a fun spin.
There you go. And then, boop, tap it. I mean, come on. And yes, so the puck that I put in there, and I texted you about this, because I texted a lot of people about this before I actually did it. But I pulled the trigger. I linked it. It is no longer new in box. My Tiki Room 45th anniversary Magic Band, I actually used it, which...
Good.
And so the reason why I'm saying I finally used it, folks, for those of you who I didn't text, I'm really sorry. I lost your number. Otherwise, you would have totally...
New phone, who dis?
Yeah, new phone, who dis? but the issue that I ran into is I was about to, you know, I was getting ready to link it up, and I was like... You know, so you flip it over, and on the puck it says, you know, limited edition 2500, and I'm like, ha ha ha, yeah, because this wasn't hard. I mean, because it really wasn't hard to get at all. And I'm like, I wonder what these sorts of things actually go for on the secondary market nowadays. And so I went to eBay and I looked, $150, and like, not this is like, I think the only one I saw that was actually an active listing was $250. Right. But I don't count it just because, like, people can ask whatever they want, you know, but there were people who were selling them for consistently $100 plus. And that makes it really hard to go slap that thing on your wrist and go, yep, I'm just going to turn down $100+ so that I can wear a cool mask. And again, I didn't even use the rest of the Magic Band. I'm only using the puck part. And so what am I essentially losing? Let's see, that one probably cost me $35 after tax, because it was, what, 33? So I'm losing, let's call it $100, right? Let's say I was going to sell it for $135. Just so that I can see those touch points do the little Tiki Room thing. I'm pretty sure I'm broken in the head, but here's the thing.
I'm not
the one broken in the head. Everybody else is too, because that was... Like, again, I texted you and multiple other people, and everybody said, "Nah, just go ahead. You're gonna kick yourself if you don't do it."
Does the puck itself have any Tiki Room?
Nope, just a green
stuff
puck.
On it.
Just a green puck.
So
made it tempting to wear the entire band, but then I wouldn't get to use my cool little watch band puck thing, dude.
But you get the cool Tiki Room noises and everything from the touch points, right?
Yes. Yeah, you do get that, which honestly, I mean, like, I like the art on the band as well, but that was really I'm going to be totally honest with you guys. That was really the reason I got this thing, was because thought it was really cool to see the touch point do the Tiki Room.
What I told you to do is wear it and make sure that you yell every time you use it that it is what it is. Oh, got the Tiki Room, Magic Band thing.
That's right. In case
check it out, everybody.
Would anybody like to see what this Tiki? Yes, because that doesn't make me seem like a weirdo at all.
Limited edition.
Could I just write limited edition in black Sharpie on it so people will know?
Can you just sell the band?
I don't know.
Keep the puck and sell the band for $50.
Well, but I'm thinking, like, I could... I just need to find out what, like, the used thing on this is. Because, you know, I'll use it a couple of times. And then if I could sell it for $75, I think that's still decent, right? I don't know.
People want the band. I don't think people... I think you're weird because you want the touch point animation, whatever, more than you want the band. I think most Magic Band collectors want the band. Not the little puck thing. I would bet $100 of that $150 is the band, and $50 of it is the the special sound it makes when you scan it.
Well, those people have their priorities just all wrong.
I agree.
Then. That's what I'm telling you. Like,
I agree
my Disney college program one, I'm just kind of like, it's cool because it's got like Disney college program and it's a, you know, exclusive band that you can't get normally, but it doesn't have a cool touch point thing. So how, you know, meh.
How can you even use it?
That's right. How can people even know that I'm using
a
college
plebeian
program? Yeah.
It's a plebeian magic band. Biff. It's garbage.
I wonder if the Club 33 touch points do the
okay, TV. Hey, that'll do it for this episode. Club 33.
That's assuming that I get, I am so like, this could go, I just keep waiting for the shoe to drop and for the person to say, yeah, so that's not going to work this time. Or there's some sort of special, you know, like my brain goes through every way that this could go wrong because I just don't, it's still completely unfathomable that I even have a shot at doing this. or for all intents and purposes that I'm going to do this, but
I think it's going to happen.
Just believe. But yeah, so Magic Band Pucks, they need to start selling these watch band things so that I can, you know, dude, why don't they sell like limited edition watch band in the little watch band puck things? Like, then they don't even have to make the band. Or for that matter, why aren't they selling limited edition? So, yes, for those of you who haven't figured it out yet, Brad and Jeremy enjoy Apple products. This portion of the episode, not brought to you by Apple because they just keep taking our money. But why aren't they selling like Disney? Are there Apple Watch bands for Disney?
No.
Ugh. See, that's another thing that I would give them way too much money for. And that, so to me, that band would be a lot more worthwhile for the cool little graphics or whatever, because I wear that on a daily basis. I don't wear my Magic Band on a daily basis. Is that weird? Should I be wearing my Magic Band on a daily basis? Am I doing it wrong?
I mean, yeah, sure. It's jewelry.
But is it?
No, it is not. You should not wear it.
Okay.
The daily.
But yeah, I don't know. I think that Disney needs to hire us to work in merch because they're leaving a lot of money on the table. You know, and meanwhile the people who are dealing with merch are making things like mini corn cupcakes. So,
which is not the thing you put on Chinese food. The little mini corn on the cup.
Mini corn as in mouse ears and a unicorn horn. I'm sorry if you really, really enjoy, if you're like, that is the most awesome thing ever. Because to me, that's weird. It's weird. That's just like unicorn cupcake with unicorn ears. Unicorn cupcake with just a unicorn horn. All of these things are okay. It just feels weird when it's got Mickey ears, folks. Creeped out.
Before we close, here's a pro tip for all you Apple Watch users who want to Disney-fy your band. Buy the product red band and the yellow band. And then put one piece of the red band on your watch and put one piece of the yellow band on your watch and make sure
have... Oh, dude, you're totally going to be Disney-bounding now.
A space gray watch, and then you have a black, yellow, and red watch. And those, you know, then you have a Mickey Mouse watch. And that's how you can Disney-fy your bands and then get the little Mickey face that talks to you whenever you tap him and tells you the time. And hey, man, that's a Disney watch right there.
I think I know what I'm doing after this. Let's go ahead and shut this down so I can go give Apple more of my money.
Okay. That'll do it for this episode. You can follow us on Twitter at MTM Podcast. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/MTM Podcast. You can visit us on the web at missingthemouse.co. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode. And until then... have a magical day.